Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
So today we're going to answer two questions dealing with difficult bosses. Seems to be a lot of that going around.
Oh yeah.
I mean, all the time. Anyway, we'll hear from someone who has a virtual relationship with her boss who's located way across the country and communicates only through email.
Ooh.
Yeah. And seems impossible to please.
Ooh.
And then next, we're going to consider a situation where a new boss says he wants ideas from the company's long-term staff, but actually rejects everything they propose.
Those are definitely two difficult boss situations.
Yeah. So let's just get to the right question. Let's not waste a second.
Let's jump into it. I work for a fairly new tech company that's based across the country as one of their expert technicians. I communicate with my boss via email and sometimes Skype. He's always overwhelmed, stressed out, tired, and angry. He tells me that he hates managing, but he is the head technician and has to give us assignments. He misses meetings, gives confusing directions, and sends long, rambling emails. He's always telling me what I did wrong and never recognizes my accomplishments. I'm starting to feel bad about myself. Should I try to work it out with him or just find another job?
Yeah. You're not alone here, sister.
No.
I think a lot of people feel this way. I mean, yes. I think virtual jobs, this is the could be one of the problems.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that she has three choices.
Three
possibilities. Yeah. One is she could just let it go. He's stressed out.
Uh-huh.
This is what a stressed out person sounds like.
Yeah.
I don't know what her stress reaction is, but think about it. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, usually stress reactions are not pretty. So you can just let it go. That's on his side. That's his problem.
Yeah.
The next is I think she could try to work it out with him and discuss it with him.
Discuss his moodiness?
I'm giving possibilities. I'm not saying how realistic or if you'd want to do them.
Yes,
but that's another possibility to say.
Something to consider.
Right. Every time I speak to you, you're very stressed out and it feels very personal. I'm sure it's not, but, you know, maybe we can approach this differently. I think there are things you can say to discuss it. You don't want to do that. The third thing, I think, if you can't let it go, you can't discuss it, is to probably just move on. This is not somebody you want to work for. That's how I see it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's true. And I think the thing that's hard in this kind of situation is because it's virtual, it's very hard to have a conversation with someone like this because the person who's asking the question says it's all through email and Skype.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably hard to find him or catch him at a time when he's reasonable because he's always overwhelmed, stressed out, tired, and angry. And the thing that is particularly challenging about it, I think, is that this is not uncommon that someone who's the best technician ends up managing and hates managing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that he says, I hate managing, is a little intimidating if you work for someone like that. Right?
Right. Well, it basically says this conversation or whatever it is I have to do with you is the last thing I want to do.
Yes.
Yes.
Right?
You are the last thing I want to deal with.
Right, but it's not as personal as that. I think this is just not the part of the job that he wants.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying it's easy to let it go. This just may be someone you don't want to work for because you do want to like your work and you do want to like the people you work for.
Well, and you don't want to dread every exchange with the person, right?
Right. I would imagine that, you know, if his name pops up, his email pops up, your stomach drops, that there is not a good, warm, fuzzy feeling. And that in itself, is it worth it?
Yeah.
You know, if I'm assuming this person, there's a lot of work available in their fields. If there isn't a lot of work, that's a different story. But if there is, then working, you know, I am sure you're not the first person to leave this kind of a boss, right? This boss has a high turnover probably.
Yeah. But I will say that if you're early on in your career and you have someone like this, a lot of times at the beginning, you may wonder what it is that you're doing wrong. you know?
Right.
Even, I mean, we can say it because we're two tough gals later on in our careers, but if this is your first boss, you probably go in really eager to please and mm-hmm. you want to succeed and you want to do the right thing. And so when they say, when he finds only what's wrong with what you're doing, it can hurt your confidence.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's beyond the first job. I mean, this could be your 15th job. This doesn't feel good to have somebody right. like this. Right. So letting it go, if that may not be a possibility for you, may be way too attacking. Yeah. And you may not be able to have a conversation with this person. So then the best thing for you is to go find greener pastures, mm-hmm. a place where you do enjoy the people you're working with. I mean, this person has got big problems. I'm not letting them off the hook. I'm just saying, I don't know how much of your day, because it is virtual.
Right.
You don't have to look at them every day. You don't have to deal with this person on a day-to-day basis. So you have to figure that out. But it does sound like, you know, learn what you can and then go. You know, it doesn't sound like this is where you want to spend a long time.
Use it as an experiment, a resume builder, so to speak.
Right. If in fact it is that.
Yeah. And then how do you, in your next job, if it's another virtual job, how do you make sure you have a better boss?
Well, that's a difficult, you know, thing to find out. I would bet, though, I don't know if you go on Glassdoor.com, does this guy have a high turnover?
Yeah.
I actually know the situation, and I did go on Glassdoor, and nobody's telling the truth. So you can't always find out that way. Yeah.
Wow,
so,
interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, that's one of the questions you want to ask whenever you take a job. What's the turnover here? And
Turnover rate.
Right. Uh-huh. And how many people had this job before me?
Uh-huh.
You know, how long did they last? Not how many people have had it, just how long did the last person last?
Mm-hmm.
That will give you some indication. But, you know, bad bosses know how to interview. They don't come off like a bad... I mean, some of them do, and then run.
Someone like this. I've worked for someone like this. Uh-huh. And they're usually very friendly at the beginning.
Right.
Like, they're really, you know, kind of casual. And they say, I don't really like hierarchy. No one's a boss here. At least that was my experience.
Uh-huh.
And then you find out about the hidden rage a little further down the line.
Say, it all sounds so great, right? And, you know.
Right. Yeah, they're like, you know, we can work together, be cool, la, la, la. Mm-hmm. And then you find out about Mr. Angry about 2 weeks in.
You know, I feel a dating scenario potentially coming on here. Because I think this is true when you're dating also, is that they seem all shiny and terrific.
Right, they put on their best, and then, you know.
Right, at the dinner,
the
they're lovely.
Baggage comes out.
And then later, the internal rage comes out. Mm-hmm. It takes a while to uncover this sometimes.
Well, mm-hmm. I'll tell you, in dating, you can ask the person how they feel about their mother, and usually uncovers quite a bit.
There's a psychological element.
Do not
ask your boss, how's the relationship with your mom?
Don't do that on an interview. That'll get you.
But couldn't you ask something about...
About their mother?
No. What's the boss equivalent of mother?
No, I think you have to find out about turnover.
Yeah. And what you see, couldn't you ask the person what are the qualities that are most important to them in an employee, number one?
Look, this mm-hmm. kind of a boss is, they know that they have a problem, but they don't think it should be a problem for anyone. They're not going to show it.
They're not going to show
it.
It's true.
They're not going to be honest and tell you that they're mean and demeaning. Can you handle that?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I hate what I'm doing, and I'll probably hate you. How do you feel about that? Yeah, that's probably not going to be one of the questions.
This person is unconscious. They're really not aware
that's
of their
true.
Own
right.
behavior. So they don't have the sophistication to even know how to.
Yeah, they usually feel
victimized
by their own situation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, how did I get here? I have to supervise.
Yeah, I mean,
these
I don't
people.
Hear they call and apologize after they do this. I mean,
Right. It's not a consciousness.
So, you know, there's those that beat you up and then apologize or send you flowers. That's
also a dating analogy.
It is. That's a whole other kind of bad boss boyfriend. Yeah.
No, it's true. Uh-huh. And actually, I think one of the indicators for this person, because he or she is saying, I'm starting to feel badly about myself.
Yeah, right. That's an indication.
Self-esteem.
Yeah. If you're, one of our favorite statements is, if you're feeling crazy, you're probably in crazy. But if your self-esteem is suffering, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's something that's happening that's not good for you.
Right. It's hard to learn or do a good job working for somebody like this.
Yeah. It's impossible. Well, you could do a good job. You'll just never hear about it. And they'll probably fire you and rehire you. And
yeah. You know. Yeah, I think we've come to a conclusion. Just move on. Right? If you can. If
Let it roll
other
off
jobs.
Your
yeah.
back yeah. if you can handle this. There are those, we were talking about this earlier, Kathy. There are people for whom difficult bosses, they just don't feel it, right? They can handle anyone and anything.
Well, we were talking about, we know very few, but we do know certain people that really can, they survive through all.
Go with the flow.
Right. If so, they just feel they can work with anyone and they just don't take anything they say personally.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they just, you know, do whatever they have to do to work it out with somebody.
Yeah.
I find that to be a rare quality though.
Yeah.
Most of us really want to enjoy our day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How do they do it? How do they do it day to day? They just don't let it bother them?
They just cut off?
Yeah, I think they just, well, there are those who literally don't hear it. Do you know what I mean? They don't take it in mm-hmm. because there's a certain absorption level. And what's interesting, I think, is often for very creative people, they're also quite sensitive. Mm-hmm. So for example, this person is one of their expert technicians, chances are that he or she is very, you know, has a very active mind and cares very deeply about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so would take the comments, negative comments more personally. Mm-hmm. I find the people, and it's not that the people who let it roll out their back aren't creative, but they just have a certain, they just don't let anything particularly bother them. So they have a certain, balance to them. That's and that can be irritating because you don't know when they're excited about something either.
Mm-hmm.
Passionate about it.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, we've met them over the years. We've met people. They survive all regimes of bosses that come in and downsizing. They just seem to survive, and they're pleasant and can get along with anyone. Yeah.
And sometimes you can take cues from them, right? Like you can ask mm-hmm. that kind of person, how do you manage this individual? Mm-hmm. And they may be able to give you some tips.
Right. They just don't let it bother them.
Yeah. Or they use humor. Remember we had worked with that one woman who could handle the most difficult individuals always with humor.
With humor.
Yeah. She didn't ever take it seriously.
Yeah. Dalai Lama like. Okay.
So if you're the Lama, then you have nothing to worry about. But otherwise, we're generally suggesting you probably want to move on.
Yeah.
And do your best to shore up your confidence if it's weakened here, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Go to places where people do appreciate your work and do recognize your capabilities and mm-hmm. get another job.
All right, let's take a quick commercial break and we'll come back with boss number two. Bad boss number two.
Ever feel like you or your company could use a 20-minute therapy session? Well, K-Squared has your back. Simply download a K-Talk, plug in those ear pods, or gather a group of your coworkers and feel better instantly. Well, almost. Each K-Talk covers a specific topic and costs a fraction of what a traditional therapy session would. Feeling stressed by your workload? There's a K-Talk for that. Working with someone who's done you wrong? There's a K-Talk for that. Can't ask for a raise, need a vacation, hate your boss? K-Talk, K-Talk, K-Talk. Just go to ksquaredenterprises.com and purchase the K-Talk that fits your situation. Now back to our show.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Logan, what's our next question?
I have a job I love working for a boss that I can't stand. I've been the head of sales for a large accounting agency for 10 years, and my company recently brought in a new CEO. This person says he wants all of our creative ideas and that he believes in teamwork. Meanwhile, he finds fault with every idea we present to him and spends our one-on-one meetings telling me his plans for sales. If I raise a question or tell him about our past successes, he cuts me off. I don't really know how to navigate this situation, and I'm feeling devalued, disrespected, and dismissed. What should I do?
There's so many issues here. Where do we start?
Let's start. Piece by piece.
Yeah.
Well, I'll start by saying I feel your pain. Mm. It is really difficult to, and it sounds like, for 10 years, you've had a great experience and probably you had a good relationship with the boss, the CEO who left for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And now you're experiencing a huge loss, really, to be in the same job, but in an environment that seems hostile. Mm-hmm. Right, Kathy?
Yeah, that's all you got to say.
I'm expressing the empathy for this situation.
See, I mean, you know, when we in executive coaching, we're always telling new bosses to praise the history and to be sure to not do exactly what this boss is doing. So that's just something that this person did not get that memo, you know, where it really is important when you come into any organization and there are people that hold the historical perspective of how it got there. That's something that should be celebrated. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean it has to go forward, but it should be acknowledged and listened to. Okay, that being said, I think if this person wants to be part of the future, this boss is talking about the future now.
Then as this boss sees it.
The new, right. If you want to be part of that future, then you've got to get on that bandwagon. You know, that's it. That's, the, you know, whatever was happening prior is not going to continue. Yeah. It's now a new game. So that's something, that's a decision that you have to make for yourself. And this happens with, you know, many people that have a change in power. Mm-hmm. You have to decide whether that's a change that fits you or it doesn't.
Right. Well, it really means that you're working at a different place and a different job in a sense.
Right.
If this individual was used to being the one who pioneered their sales strategy and the CEO is saying, no, we're going to do it my way now, their job has changed in a very fundamental way.
You know, we were talking to somebody this morning who's her CEO is going to be changing, and I was asking her, how did she feel about that? And she, it turns out that she's an Army brat child that her parents moved constantly.
Yeah.
So she feels changes usually for the better, and that, you know, it stings, and you know, she used to get scared, and then she realized that there was nothing to be scared of because it always worked out. Uh-huh. So I thought that was pretty interesting. She's not concerned at all about what this change is going to mean. And, you know, this person may have walked into this situation defensive.
The CEO, you mean? Or the salesperson, the head
employee,
of sales.
Yeah. He may have already had, you know, some preconceived notions that, oh, my God, they're going to take away what I've accomplished. You know, I don't know what he brought to the dynamic. Uh-huh. I don't want to say it's the boss's, the whole picture, but it may be. Maybe the boss is not doing a good job. But change is not comfortable for a lot of people. It just isn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know that.
Right. Well, I think also there's a period of building trust, right, with change. And part of probably what's disorienting is to be asked for your creative ideas and then to find fault with every idea that's presented. So you, one, may hope for a good outcome, but then get very nervous and anxious if it seems like you can't win, so to speak. Because I do think with change, we're all looking for, where's my footing here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I have a place? And you may not have a place.
I mean, but you may
not.
That's
a scary truth. It's a scary reality to be faced with.
Yeah.
But it may also be that you're not communicating correctly for this person. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out as a devil's advocate that it may be that you're not communicating it in a fiscal way, let's say.
Yeah.
Maybe you're communicating it the way the last CEO liked to hear it.
Right.
And this one wants to hear it in different terms. I think you have to figure that out before you say, uh-oh, this is not the company I knew.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I can't work under this person's leadership.
So find out what their language is, what matters to them, and what they're looking to hear from you.
Yeah, you know, some people come in also and they want to get rid of everybody.
Yeah, that's right.
To bring in their own team. So it may not even be personal. It may just be, you know, I've got somebody who I know I want to work with, so your history.
Right.
You know, you have a, you know, what are those, you know, what's that called when somebody shoots you?
A target
on your back. Yeah. It's not
really more on your forehead.
Well, I like the back because you're not seeing it. But it's just a gross analogy. I'm anti-guns. So, you know, I think there's a lot of issues. He has a lot of dynamics. And I personally do worry when a whole new, you know, when a new CEO comes in, because rarely do they follow the path of the predecessor.
Right. And each person's trying to make their mark.
That's right.
Certainly if you're a CEO, you're coming in wanting to create an environment that's yours and successes that are yours.
Right. And you want to be known for what you've accomplished. This is not a small position. This person has probably even been given a mandate.
Uh-huh.
To take the organization to a different place or modernize it or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So,
you know, anyone in a leadership position who has a new CEO really has to decide whether this is for them or not. It's tough.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of weighing and measuring to do. It sounds like there's a lot of detaching to do, not taking it personally if your ideas are rejected, mm-hmm. and having to step back since the CEO isn't going to care about your history. You somehow have to care about the CEO's plans and also history, finding out what mm-hmm. their successes are and what they deem to be important.
But, you know, this just brings me back to our book, Working for You Isn't Working for Me, which I love that book, but it came out when the recession hit and uh-huh. people were just happy to have a boss. So they didn't, the book kind of went unnoticed, although I noticed today it's doing very well on Amazon. But anyway, it has in it a boss baggage assessment,
yes.
where you really figure out what you bring to that relationship, because it's not always all about the boss.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think if you understand, you know, what are my needs? What is it that I want out of my job, and what kind of a person do I work best with? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to understand yourself.
Yeah.
Because some bosses are good for some people and some bosses are bad for other people.
Yeah.
Right. And you really have to, so there's a lot of dynamics that go into this mix.
Well, and I could even add a whole psychological level.
Go ahead. What do you think boss baggage is?
Yeah.
Well, put on top of that are different reactions to change, right? Mm-hmm. So just similar to the loss cycle that Kubler-Ross introduced, we do often, so with change, first there may be denial. Nothing's going to change for me. It's all going to be fine for me. Then if you notice things are different, like he's rejecting my ideas, you may go into anger and blame, mm-hmm. where you're feeling, you know, offended and this isn't right and I don't like this situation. Then you may go into bargaining, where you're hoping it's not too different and there's a way you can insert yourself and how can you redeem yourself with the new leader. Mm-hmm. And so on to sadness and depression and acceptance. You know, you may cycle through for yourself different feelings about the situation because it is a loss of what you did know, mm-hmm. and an adjustment to your new normal.
Yeah, you know, that just reminds me, there is another segment in that book also that takes you through the cycle of what you go through from realizing you've got a bad boss that doesn't work, you know, all the phases
that's
that
right.
you do cycle to. I don't remember them all, but they were quite good.
Well, in the
of course,
early
I don't remember
stages,
them.
Well, one of the things you do quickly is you try harder. Like if they don't seem to respond to your usual razzle-dazzle,
right.
mm-hmm. you'll double down and work harder to win their approval in the way that you're used to winning it.
Right.
right.
Which in this case is not going to be good.
right. right, right.
Yeah, how do you deal with somebody who cuts you off? How do you go about navigating someone who constantly cuts you off?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have to, well, of
How
course.
How do you get in there?
Well, if it's your husband or your friends, you say, you know, you yell yeah. back. But if it's your boss, you have to take a deep breath mm-hmm. and then try to make your point in another time or even right. ask permission. And
yes.
say, you know, there's something I really want to say. Can I have the floor for a minute?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You know, so again, you have to really assess this. Is this somebody who's so anxious that they don't let others speak, or is yeah. this somebody that's really devaluing you?
Well, a mm-hmm. couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the boss that always has to be right.
Ugh. Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And that's a cutter offer.
Definitely.
So it is. It's very hard. And especially if you're the head of sales, I find usually, and Kathy, you're great at sales, but I find that salespeople are they're independent-minded. Mm-hmm. They're used to being stars, as we would say in the boss baggage. And there's a little bit of a rebel in them because, mm-hmm. you know, you don't make great sales happen without rattling things up a little sure. bit. So they tend to be strong personalities, not wilting flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you butt up against someone who cuts you off and doesn't want to hear what you have to say after years of success,
right.
that is a big pill to swallow.
right.
Big bitter pill to yes. swallow.
Yes.
Right. Right. I would check out. I would go. I would just leave. But that's, you know, me, I'm very independent. Many people can't just leave a job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's better to start looking for another position than to be acting out. And I think that's one of the things
right.
that can happen.
Don't lash
this.
Out.
You know, don't roll your eyes.
Right.
If mm-hmm. you get red easily, drink a lot of water. I don't know what you do, but you know, if you've got indicators that when you're unhappy that start to come out, you really want to manage them in this situation.
And you know, this always goes to the point that I try to make as often as I can. I probably don't say it enough, which is that you should always be in the job search mode. That doesn't mean that, you know, you're interviewing actively. It just means that you're keeping your LinkedIn up to date, that when recruiters call you, you actually do have a conversation with them. Mm-hmm. You do make sure that you have coffee with people in your field so that they will let you know if something exciting is going on. I mean, you should always be never at the mercy of the job you're at, because if you are actively out there, there are other opportunities.
Yeah. Sure. Right. So going
so
back.
So what you would do is, I think if you now have a new CEO that you feel you're compromising yourself in a way that is very uncomfortable and you don't feel appreciated, to know that you are out there talking and that you're looking at, you know, you get more active with your opportunities, you're not going to take it as severely. And what happens when you don't take it as severely is that the CEO may see you differently. Uh-huh. See, it's when you get really upset and you get, you know, you really have a negative effect. I think you make it worse.
That they see you as a problem.
Right.
Yeah.
They see you as, you know, stuck in the history or a stick in the mud or whatever they see you as, argumentative. They just an old thinker. But if you feel better about yourself because you have other opportunities and you're thinking, eh, I don't like this guy, I'm out of here anyway, you won't come off as uptight.
So we want to keep those business relationships alive.
Always.
The ones, especially the ones outside of your actual company.
Yeah. When you need to job search, it should not be from a dead end. Like, you should have always had those doors open. That's... You know, I say this all the time, but yet people come to me and like, you know, I haven't updated my LinkedIn in about 5 years. And no, it should always be an ongoing effort. All right, enough of that. Said it.
All right. So what we're saying here, many options, many issues. You're going to have to see if the CEO even wants you around, like. You're going to have to see if you can pull back enough to find out what his, and if it were her agenda is, and if you can meet them on their plane. And you should definitely be keeping your other business relationships alive and your network alive and your LinkedIn fresh as a daisy.
Yes. Up to date.
Yes.
UpToDate.com.
You know, you're always shopping.
Always shopping.
Well, that's
true.
You're always shopping.
That's kind of my analogy. You know, it's like I'm always shopping so that if when I need something to wear, I probably have it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if it's a guy, what would you say? Because guys don't always shop.
I have no idea. I'm a girl through and through. No. All right.
How about
your
guys?
You grocery shop, right?
I do have guy clients.
How about you're always flicking the channel? My husband's always flicking the channel, so he's always changing channels.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, it's not a job, it's a career. I want you to see your work life as a career. And it has a, you know, it's going to have many jobs along the way. So it's not about a job, it's about your career.
Well, and the other thing is to understand is that leadership in these days, leadership is constantly changing in organizations.
Everything is changing.
But once that once the leadership changes, the company changes.
It does.
Just always does, right? We want it not to, but it does.
And it could be for the better.
It could be.
You know, recently my gym was bought. And I was really worried.
You were not happy.
Well, I was worried because I knew what it was. I didn't know what it was going to be.
Yes.
And I remember this guy put his, you know, hands on me and he goes, "It's only going to get better." And I didn't know, you know, I just didn't know. And it has only gotten better. So now I'm very happy. Now I hope nobody buys it again. But anyway, change is sometimes good.
Yes. Yes, and even if change in this case is a new employer, that could be great for you.
It could
be the
be
best
good.
Thing that ever happened.
They may really like you.
Good.
Yeah. So I think that's it for this show.
All right, so tweet us your stories and your advice about dealing with difficult bosses and changing work environments to AskK2. Join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. Review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. And don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.